Brother Jeb, come share with us the word of God.
Well, we're done with the Lord's Prayer, and believe for that 13-week thing, I have this week and two more. Tonight, I wanted to bring a very short verse to you on prayer. Some things I've heard people say, some stuff that kind of smacks of mysticism to me. And I wanted to share with you, hopefully to clear up what it's saying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, this is part of, real quick, give you a little bit of context. The Apostle Paul, he likes to divide his epistles between the doctrinal section and the practical section. This is part of what sometimes people call the practicum. This is the practical section where he gives just a lot of practical instruction. It takes the doctrine he's been teaching them, and he's saying, therefore, do thus and thus and thus and thus. And he gives this command, which in English is just three words. In Greek, it's just two. It's even shorter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And I've heard a lot of people talk about this verse over the years since I've been following Christ. And some of it, like I said, sounds rather mystical. And they're talking about, oh, you know, it's this internal thing going on. I had to get that clear. Anytime anything sounds like mysticism to me, I become immediately very leery about it because I got saved out of that environment. And so anytime it starts sounding like that, it kind of like alarm bells start going off, you know. And I'm like, hippie, hippie, hippie. Danger, Will Robinson. So for me, it's just a matter of always getting into the language. What does it say? And that has always been something that for me has been the key to all my study. It's always been, but what does it say? So I want to lay out for you, what does it say? It's just a two-word command. The actual command part of it is the second word. The two words are adialeptos prasugeste. Prasugeste, that's the word to pray. There are two ways to issue a command in Greek. You can either say start doing something or continue doing what you are doing. It's just the two ways that you can issue a command. Start doing it or continue doing it. This is continue doing it. Prasugeste is the second person plural, so it's you all continue praying. Continue praying. The first word, adialeptos, is kind of a convoluted word. We wouldn't do this in English. It's dialeptos means, step back mentally. Adialeptos is a negative adverb. So it's, you know, not something li, you know. It's a negative adverb. But it comes from a verb, dialepto, which means to intermit. That's fancy language to meaning to create a gap in an ongoing activity. So it doesn't mean to stop. It means to create gaps, to make it irregular and non-consistent. Dialepto, to intermit. So to create a gap in an ongoing activity. And so this adverb is based off that verb, but it's made negative. So it's to not intermittently pray. So I've heard people say a lot of weird stuff, and someone asked me if I look at the commentaries a lot, and I said, no, They said, why? I said, because they make me mad. Because they say crazy stuff. And they say unfounded stuff. And sometimes they say things. See, I've got portions of the Hebrew and Greek New Testaments memorized. Not as a trying to, but just because I work with it so much. You know, like you become familiar with passages in English. I become familiar with passages in Greek and Hebrew, as well as English. And because of that, sometimes I'll be reading these commentaries, and they'll say things, and I'm like, it doesn't say that. I've pointed that out to Pastor Weigel before. And he's raised the question, well, is it a text issue? And so I'm like, well, I'll go take a look. No, it's not a text issue. They're just wrong. I don't know where they got this. That has no basis in the Westcott-Hort text, the TR, nothing. It's just made up. I don't know where they got it. So I tend to find commentaries frustrating. And when I really need one where I feel like I've hit a knotty issue and I'd like to hear someone else's opinion, invariably I open up the commentary to that section and they don't have it. Because they thought it was pretty knotty too and didn't want to touch it. But I was looking at some of the commentaries. Yes, ma'am.
Naughty as in K-N-O-T.
Yes, as in a knot. Not as in wicked, but as in a knot in a string. So I was curious, because I realize I'm not the fount of inspiration. Wisdom does not find its beginning and end with me. So I looked at the commentaries, and they immediately made me mad. Because they're going back and talking about all this. They're like quoting medieval Catholic monastic mystic writers. And I'm going, what? There's no basis for this. And they're talking about this chanting thing you do in your head that you can do while you're working. And I'm going, what are you talking about? It's nothing that complicated. It's not some weird mystical heart attitude or weird thing you're doing in the background. It's very simple. Be consistent and regular in your prayer life. Don't create big gaps. Don't, in this ongoing activity of prayer, don't create irregular and prolonged gaps. That's what it means. It's simple, but sometimes this can be very challenging. Like many Christians, maybe all Christians, I have at times in my life and my Christian growth found myself being irregular in my prayer life and in my Bible reading. And you want to know one of the things I found the most harmful to being, and this is going to sound so strange, was assigning a scheduled time that made it the hardest to be consistent, because often events would happen that would interrupt that time slot. So what I did, and this, I'm telling you, for me, I don't know if this would work for everyone, but it worked for me, and it has worked amazingly for my family. I attached my prayer and Bible reading not to a time slot, but to an event that would happen every day. And for me, being diabetic, the easiest thing to tie it to is a meal. Because maybe for you people with normal endocrine systems, you can forget to eat. My diabetes doesn't let me do that. I forget to eat. I start looking at everybody going, I could eat you. I get hungry. It's like there is a comedic thing in a movie one time where the guy goes, he says, he messes up speaking Portuguese. He's supposed to be saying, you don't want to make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And he messes up in the Portuguese and he says, you're making me hungry, you wouldn't want to make me hungry. And I said, that's actually the truth about me. When my blood sugar gets low, man, just get me something to eat. So for me to be able to maintain my blood sugar, which I've done great, I just had my blood sugar tested again by my doctor, and he said it's great. I'm not on medicine at all. I have to eat. What I tell people is I say, I can't eat based on how I feel. I have to eat based on, is it time to eat? And then I eat a little bit. And that's what I do. And so for me, the thing that revolutionized and made consistent my prayer and Bible reading time isn't associating it with an hour on the clock. It's associating it with meal times. See, I keep a copy of the Bible sitting on the table right where I sit to eat. And so I sit down, I pray, I eat. When I'm done, grab the Bible, pull it to me, open it up. I spend time in prayer. I read the Bible. I close it. I thank God for His Word. And then I spend a prolonged period of time in prayer, praying for myself, praying for my family, praying for this church. I cycle through you guys in my prayer life. I go through and I pray for you. And I try to think of specific things that you need prayer for. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. It's just, this is how I do it. And I found that revolutionized things for me. And I've been doing that now for years. And once I did that, it really made it work for me. Maybe a time slot works well for you. But for me, it was tying it to an event, not a time. And then once I had it in my mind and tied to the event, then I don't forget. And by leaving my Bible where I eat, that is a visual reminder that I'm going to do that. In fact, it's become such a part of the way we do things that Selena had quickly, she really enjoyed dinner tonight, and she got done, and she said, can I get down? And Heidi said, what do we normally do when we eat? So, well, we pray, we eat, Daddy reads the Bible, and then we have milk. Have we done prayer and Bible reading? No. Have we had milk? No. Okay, then, you're not getting down. So, life is busy. Life is demanding. It constantly is crying for our attention. And you may say, I'm too busy to regularly go to church. I'm too busy for a regular devotional life of prayer and Bible reading. Then I have to tell you, you're too busy. I'm not saying I agree with you. I'm saying you need to look at your schedule and start cutting some things out. Someone once asked me how it is that I tithe. I actually, do more than tithe, but the point is how? How is that even possible, considering that most people in the U.S. think of me as abysmally poor? And I said, because it's the first thing that comes off the budget. It's the first thing. So that means I don't do, you look at all the things you could do, and that comes off first. That just comes right off. I've gotten ahead of things in my bookkeeping. All my monthly bills, including my tithe, are on paper paid for the year. I write it. I never look at my bank account because they don't match. My bank account always has more money than what I have written down. And what I do is on paper, I pay for all my bills, all my monthly bills for the year. And then operate on what's left. So you have to make a priority. It's all about prioritizing. You are limited in your resources. You only have 24 hours a day. You only have so much physical stamina that you can maintain in your activity levels. You have to prioritize. You can't do everything that you could do. And this is where, for those of you who are a part of this church and you were here when I did the series on love, and I talked about the priorities of love. Your first priority of love is your relationship with God. And when we went through the Lord's Prayer, I pointed out to you that the language and framework of the Lord's Prayer is this is a daily thing. That this is a design that you are to daily come before the Lord in prayer. So this is your first priority. Your first obligation in the world. You have all these resources that you can expend. And God says, your first obligation, make time for communion with your Lord. You must give him the first part. That is the example he has set throughout both testaments. Give him the first part of your resources. So if you don't maintain a regular prayer and devotional time, what you need to do is you need to examine your life. And if you can't find a good time for it, then that means you need to figure out what you can get rid of to free up time. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that says that you need to spend 3 hours every day in prayer and Bible reading. I find that for... I used to have an insane schedule. I'll tell you what my schedule was when I was in Bible college, and people thought I was a madman. I read 5 chapters of the Old Testament in the morning. At lunchtime, I read 5 chapters out of Psalms and 5 chapters out of Proverbs. And in the evening, I read 5 chapters out of the New Testament. I could read the Old Testament 2.5 times a year, the New Testament 7 times, and then Psalms and Proverbs I could read through every month. I was single. I had no other responsibilities besides me and Bible college, you know, and work. And so I could do that. Well, then I backed off when I got married, and I used to try to read just 5 chapters a day. But then when children started coming on, I found that that got harder and harder. Also, the children weren't, because I tried to include them in it, and they didn't seem to be able to, it was too much. And so I slowly pared it down, reluctantly, you know. So now what I do is twice a day, 20 verses each time. So sometimes that's a chapter, sometimes that's just part of a chapter. But that's what I aim for. 20 verses, and I round it off because that, you know, doesn't always equal to even 20s. But that's what we do. We have found that that works. And then we always end, well, like tonight when we were done, we had just read about the birth of Samson. And Heidi took the initiative and she said, tell us something that Daddy read. You know. What did the Word of God tell us about right now? And so William said something, and then Selena said something. And Charles said something, but I most of the time can't understand what he says. Heidi can, but I can't most of the time. I just smile and nod. I'm like, good job, big guy. But this is about priorities. You need this. Jesus Christ told Satan, when he had been without food for 40 days. And Satan said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You need this. You need your communion with your Lord more than your daily food. Jesus Christ told his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. This is an absolute statement. Paul the Apostle said, in contrast, he said, through Christ, I can do all things. But we have to go to God for that daily communion, where we take the time to clear the channel so that his grace can flow freely, and to beseech him for his filling so that we are able to meet the challenges of the day to his honor and glory. So, don't allow the clamor of this world to tempt you to take your devotional time and put it in slot 2 or slot 3. It must have first priority. I don't mean it has to be the first thing in the morning, because you may be the person who's a zombie when you first wake up, and reading the Bible when you first wake up, you know, maybe like, you know. You may need a cup of coffee and a shower, you know, before you can do your devotions. But what I mean, though, is that if something has to go, if you don't have time for everything, you make sure it's not your devotion time. So, I don't want to take up any more time, but I'm telling you, this is... you need this. This is absolutely a need. Without it, all of your striving will be failing. You will fail of the wonder and the glory that God wants for you. And you will wonder, how come I don't feel like a Christian? How come I can't get victory? Because you're starving. So please, make this a priority.
Pray without taking a vacation, right? The priority is the concept there. Jeb was saying, as a diabetic, that his mealtime is a very natural priority. He can't get by without that. So tying it to that. In a lot of ways, people who have a regular job, they have to be at work at 8 or something, back that up, get up early enough that you can go whatever wake-up process you go through, have your devotional time, and then go to work. You tie it to when you leave the house. That's going to be an automatic priority. I've tied mine to my preparation work. Preparation for school and church. My preparation work is almost always tied to the Bible anyway, and if not directly to the Bible, it's something that's related to the Bible. So I do that while I'm doing the other, or in the midst of it.
So you cheat, you get to work and do your devotion.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where, in a lot of ways, I don't want to let my preparation, sermon preparation, to become mechanical. I want my mind and my heart involved in that. So I study devotionally, and I have my devotions intellectually. You put the two together.
Either way you get it.
Yeah, and that works for me. Now, I have to say, hopefully this is not actually an intermission, an interruption, but uh, I I pretty well have given up trying to have a regular devotional thing on Saturday and Sunday. So it's my work days, Monday through Friday, where I'm in preparation mode, that I have my personal devotions. It was like Jeb was saying, when there wasn't a scheduled time for that, and I have to be done by Saturday. Things are really in bad shape if I'm not done preparation by Saturday. I'm supposed to have turned in the sermon titles to Heidi for the bulletin before that. But there have been times when I've been up late Saturday working on a sermon, something or other. But for the most part, I don't do that on Saturday and Sundays, and do fill the time with going running on errands and other things with my wife. So I've had to tie it to what is, to me, a priority. You'll find something in your life that is a priority, and then you'll say before God, my time with Him is a higher priority than that. And so then you link it together with that, and it worked pretty well. Brother Jeb, you were going to...
You used the term, you said that you study devotionally, and I was going to...
Yeah.
Prepare devotion.
And that means that I have to apply all of that to me first.
explain it to me. You have to know it.
Yeah, and I don't want to just repeat something I heard. I want it to be something that touched me. So I need to preach to me first. That way you stay away from a lot of the weirdness that I hear in sermons, ethereal, philosophical stuff. Let's make it mean something to me before I try to give it to you. And I'm inconsistent in that, I'm sure, but that's my goal.